an investment in your development, there is nothing more important. Whether they have a development stipend, whether they have development programs, I would absolutely push for development stipend. And that could be your chief membership. And that, by the way, doesn't have to be in the initial negotiation. That can be something you talk with your leader about. That could be, I want to become a professional coach and show how that would add value to the organization. Show how you sponsoring me going through that program or my chief membership would help you inside the organization, because I'm actually helping myself become a better leader. An MBA program. There's a plethora of things. I would look in the mirror to find out what matters to you and then put that on the table. And again, if that's not in the initial negotiation, it can always be layered on after. Because if you're not continuing to invest in yourself, you will be left behind and your company will likely not be doing that for you. And that's just a reality. Sad as it is to say it, it's not.
The idea of job security is outdated as a landline. If you haven't been in a search for a while, it's probable you will at some point, by choice or not. Most executives admit to staying way too long or sense what's coming and justify staying anyway. Here, there's another reason. The faulty belief that navigating to what's next will inevitably be worse and has to suck. Screw that. Lauren Greif has spent a lifetime in corporate and executive search, calling bullshit on stale career advice that most still use. This is Career Blast in a Half, the career podcast for executives ready to cut past outdated career advice to fuel your outcomes now. So let's go.
OMG. Do you know that 50% do not negotiate their compensation? 30% of women do not negotiate their compensation. This is why our guest this week, the founder of The Salary Bump, Carrie Lynn Shaw, is here to explain what is going on, money mindset, and also the top negotiating mistakes we all make and how to fix them. This is part one of two, and make sure that you would listen all the way through so that you know exactly what's coming up for part two.
One of the most cringeworthy portions of any job search is when you get down to talking about the money. And so today we brought in the big guns because we have Carrie Lynn Shaw here, and she is the founder of The Salary Bump. And I love that bump because it's got all the right tonality to it. We're talking about the mistakes we all make when it comes down to negotiating moolah, salary, compensation, all the bells and whistles, the configurations, the long term, the short term, all these different things. And I met Carrie Lynn on LinkedIn and double backed with her on the Outlier Project. So shout out to you, Scott McGregor. And it has been just an absolute joy to engage with her content and also to have her here. So Carrie Lynn Shaw, I'm so excited to have you. You're like moving and grooving, and I love me a woman who is comfortable talking about money and helping us all to do better in terms of making sure we don't leave anything on the
table. I love it. Thank you so much for having me. The salary bump, it's funny. Obviously, there's so much more beyond salary that actually is a bit of the irony in the name, because it's really about compensation and the long list of things that we have to negotiate that most people don't recognize. And I'm here to change the game and help people flip the script.
Flip that script. So I want to just talk about the cringe, right? Because I feel like we can't really get into the solution until we get to the heart of what makes it so icky. And, you know, the nuances between, is it ickier for women than it is for men? Is it like especially cringeworthy at certain times in our careers? Like, help us to understand and unpack the cluster of the cringe.
Yeah. So it actually starts with your relationship to money, and that can start at a really early age. So is it a scarcity mindset that you grew up with or an abundance mindset? Do you believe sayings like money doesn't grow on trees and words like filthy rich, which associates greed? So there's an awkwardness around money. And it's not just about the awkwardness around money. And by the way, this does apply to men and women. So only less than 50% of people are negotiating, and that's men and women combined. Mm. Less than 34% of women are negotiating. So yes, it's more challenging for women, or less women are doing it. And that number is even lower for people of color. And the one big reason, well, there's a few big reasons, but the one big reason behind why people don't negotiate is that they're afraid the offer is going to get pulled. And people get so excited about the company, the job opportunity, or they are in desperate need for a job, that they don't want to rock the boat and give any reason for the person on the other end to say, oh gosh, yeah, no, we don't want this person. I'm a chief people officer, so I've given thousands of offers over my career. And the funny part about that is, this is one of those situations in life where the door is literally wide open. Literally wide open. Everyone who's making you an offer is expecting you to walk through the door and to negotiate. So when you don't, it's a surprise. So this is not a situation, which I don't know if many people really understand. This is not a situation where you're beating down the door. Like, I'm coming in full game, ready to rock and roll. I've got to fight for this. That's actually not the case. And so if we can break that down, and we can break down some of the fears that are getting in our way around what money means to you, and actually trying to have that conversation with yourself. And then the big thing that I bring is I give people the tools on how to have that conversation, how to do your homework so you're prepared for that conversation. There's nothing worse than being asked, what are your salary expectations? And you're caught on the back foot because you haven't done your homework. And by the way, that question will often come up early in the interview process, either from the recruiter or from the person on the other end. If you're in one of the 8 states that also requires pay transparency, you'll often see ranges posted. Those ranges are also not necessarily market ranges. Those are ranges that the company has said, oh, I'm going to budget this amount. And they haven't always done their homework. So there's a lot that goes into having this conversation, and to do it in a way that you can do it with grace, you can do it as a win-win, and do it with confidence at the end of the day to get paid what you deserve and what you're worth.
Okay. So I'm going to just tease some of these things out, and probably the one that I know that we work with our clients on all the time, but need your POV, is when the recruiter, hiring manager, or even somebody maybe in your network says, you know, like, what kind of salary / compensation, what are you thinking? Right? Because then that can be exposing, icky. You might be fearful that if you say the wrong thing, it could work against you. If you say too much, you're going to, you know, too low. It's just like the Goldilocks thing. So how do you wrestle with that and answer in a way that forwards the conversation without necessarily being evasive?
Yeah. So before we get to that point, first of all, I think what really needs to happen in our world is that we normalize the conversation to talk about our salaries. And that goes within your organization, that goes within your network, with your family, with your friends. And you don't necessarily have to say, what do you make, Lauren? I'd really like to know. You talk about it in the context of, look, I'm a director at my organization. I'm a manager. I'm really looking to get towards that next level, VP, senior manager, director. What do people at your company make in that level? Do you have any idea? And then you're not asking the person directly, and you're having a little bit more of a dialogue around it. So having a normal conversation about it would be number one. Number two, doing your homework. There are so many websites, PayScale, Glassdoor, LinkedIn doesn't have it anymore. Even ChatGPT has a tool, Salary Navigator. Put in your role, the title that you're looking for, the level, the city and state that you live, and try to get an idea of what the market is paying, and play a little bit, because not every role has a very distinct actual, Melissa, director of accounting or something like that. That's very specific. Some roles, the titles are a bit funny. So you have to kind of dig in to see how you would navigate that. But play around and try to get that information. So when you're asked the question, you can talk about it from a market perspective. You can talk about it from your trajectory and where you're going in your career next. You can talk about it in the sense of, you know, I've spoken to several other recruiters on other jobs that I'm interviewing for, and this is the range that is on the market. Careful, so careful. This is the number one piece of advice I can give people. You never talk in dollar amounts, ever. You always talk in ranges. And when asked that question, I also advise don't answer it. Because if it's one of the first questions that a recruiter or an interviewer is asking you, how the heck are you supposed to know? You know nothing about this job yet. You know only the title and a few things on the job spec, which, by the way, are mostly inaccurate because it's the leader doesn't always spend the time to get the job right. Normally, what I see is the leader will post it, but then they want so much more. So send it back to the person to say, listen, we're really on in the stage of even, you know, identifying what this role is about. I'm super interested in the organization. I'd really love to know what you've budgeted for this amount, you know, for this role. Or I saw the range that you posted online. And after doing further research and based on where I'm at and where I'm going, I see that range a little bit different. Let's talk about it. Tell me how you came up with it. Tell me how you benchmarked that with inside the organization. Because look, it isn't only about the money. Lauren, I used to say this in interviews, huge mistake, and part of the reason why I launched this company. I used to say that it wasn't about the money when they would ask me that. I would say it's about my learning and my development and making an impact. Full stop was my answer for years. Now, I believed that if I did good work, the money would come. And to an extent in my career, it absolutely did. That said, I left millions of dollars on the table by not negotiating because it took me longer to get there. So there is a way to answer this question to say, listen, we're at an early stage, would love to know where your head is at. Here's what I'm seeing on the market. Here's what other recruiters who've reached out and other roles that I'm talking to companies about. This is the range. And your range should be something you'd be really excited about. So the low end of the range should be what you would be very happy with. High end is, I'm going to rock and roll with this. And then you have room to play, but the low end will always be where you want to land. But I think the real bottom line, Lauren, is that normalizing the conversation to be, this should be a win-win. And you don't want to price yourself out of the market before you even had the conversation. So It's really, the other funny part about asking that question is salary is this much of the list of all the things that actually matter in a negotiation. So it's the wrong question. So let's change that question. We're not going to change that right now, but it's a ridiculous question to ask because you have bonus, you have equity, you have car, you have transportation, you have home office allowances, you have PTO, you have healthcare, you have a million other things that you want to talk about. So in that conversation, somehow talk about that. Say, listen, you know, we're talking about salary and we know there's all the other benefits. I'd really love to understand a bit more about the company so we can have a real conversation around this. That was a long answer, Lauren, but really important.
I'm going to summarize that because there's a lot here and I love what you said, right? The first thing is normalize the conversation around money. And I would imagine that you're talking about it in a safe, where you feel safe, right? To talk about it maybe with your friends or people that you know, you other colleagues from other companies that you have deep relationships. So help yourself by getting some of the ick out by normalizing that conversation. Number two is you don't have to answer that right away. You can soft pedal that back first. You should know what you're walking into. Do your research. Always do your research separately. Also, get information from them because what I've advised our clients with is the person who speaks first in these types of conversation and discloses this information typically loses. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I don't know if I would say I agree with that 100%. again, for me, this is a win-win conversation and not a win-lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you lose, Lauren, is when you have not done your homework and you are not prepared to answer that question. You may bounce it back to the person and they refuse to answer it. So you have to know where you're going from a next step perspective. The other mistake a lot of people make is that they answer what they currently make.
Oh,
also a big mistake, big, huge mistake. So at least wrapping your head around the number that you would feel really, really good about. And again, planting a range. When you plant that range, if bonus is in your trajectory and you currently have a 10% bonus, but you know director level is 20 to 25, then you say, you know, salary range X, bonus range Y. And of course, all the other ancillary benefits that go along with it, which I'm really excited to learn more about in your organization. So you're already planting all of these seeds that when you provide me an offer, which by the way is salary, bonus, sometimes equity, and PTO. The other things on that table rarely come in the offer. So when you get that offer, you've already planted the seed that you're going to talk about some of these other ancillary benefits, which absolutely add up big time. And some of those benefits are also after tax. So use a car as an example. If you have a $700 car payment, $500 car payment, plus insurance and gas, that's costing you $1,000 after tax. If your company can add that as part of your package, you've just put $1,000 back in your pocket.
Yes, I'm so glad you just completely kicked this off in the right direction, because I in talking with our clients, it's easy to think about what you're earning, whatever the configuration is. But we also really focus in on what are you keeping in your pocket, right? And that's what you just alluded to. What are you holding on to that is not going to become an out-of-pocket expense? And so I love the way that you talked about the car and being creative, and in concert with it being a very open door, I have to ask you, what are people asking for that is part of a yes, that sounds reasonable, that is not, let's just say, phone or home office expense? Because at this point, in some cases, that's really, it's been normalized. Is there anything else we have not considered that we should consider in that opportunity to negotiate and keep more money in our
pocket? A couple of things. One, your development. An investment in your development. There is nothing more important. Absolutely nothing more important. Whether they have a development stipend, whether they have development programs, I would absolutely push for development stipend. And that could be your chief membership. And that, by the way, doesn't have to be in the initial negotiation. That can be something you talk with your leader about. That could be, I want to become a professional coach and show how that would add value to the organization. Show how you sponsoring me going through that program or my chief membership would help you inside the organization, because I'm actually helping myself become a better leader. An MBA program. There's a plethora of things. I would look in the mirror to find out what matters to you and then put that on the table. And again, if that's not in the initial negotiation, it can always be layered on after. My companies have paid for my undergrad, my MBA, and my coaching program. And those were no cheap dates. So, and that was only, one was part of the organization and the others were me asking to say, listen, I think as the chief people officer, becoming a professional coach would be really valuable for the organization. Little did I know it would totally transform my own life as well as my career and all those great things. So that would be the number one, because if you're not continuing to invest in yourself, you will be left behind and your company will likely not be doing that for you. And that's just a reality. Sad as it is to say it, it's not happening.
I want to just stop right there for 1 second, because you and I had this offline conversation and I'm just going to cop to it, right? People think I'm soliciting business by telling them this, and I need to just take myself out of this. I don't care what you're doing. If you're working with a coach, if you're taking a class at Udemy, whatever it is, if you're going to read 10 books this year, if you're going to study on YouTube, It does not matter. It does not matter. But what you said, Carolyn, is exactly right. You have a responsibility to maintain your relevancy and your professional development. So what you said, coming from a chief people officer and also supported with SHRM, which of course is the governing body of HR, it is suggested, and I will share this with you, is not my benchmark, okay? 10 to 15% of your annual compensation. That means every year you have a learning stipend, whether it's through the organization or not, for you to you. So
yeah,
I wanted
it's beyond critical because the skill gap and what's just happening in the world and how fast things are moving. I have a daughter who's in college. Do I think that they are teaching her how to navigate the world? Absolutely not. Do I think that the courses that she's taking are magically going to help her from becoming a better leader or utilizing AI? No. The programs have not changed that dramatically. So there are programs you have to take on the outside. And a lot of those, by the way, are free. But your personal development and just making sure that your skills continue to grow. And I also would say, coming back to coaching for a minute, many of my clients, actually, their companies pay for me. Either they go to them and say, listen, I'd really love to hire a professional coach. They can hire me to actually help them find their new job outside the organization, help them grow inside the organization, get promoted and get a salary bump inside. They don't have to know that it's from the salary bump, right? So it's not about compensation necessarily, but it's about their own personal development. So getting a coach, it's a pretty easy win if you go to your manager and just talk to them about it. Moving on to the second thing that in a negotiation, I see as something that most people are, oh, I love when the balloons come up. This means it's a good, we're celebrating. The one thing of the thousands of offers I've made in my career, not one, I'm going to ask you to guess. What is the one thing that not a single person has ever asked me about, either structure or cost?
Got me stumped. Tell me.
Healthcare.
Oh, right. Yes.
No one has ever asked me in the offer stage for the breakdown of the healthcare benefits, nor the costs. So you could have just gotten yourself a phenomenal salary bump and you're super excited and you did not ask how much it costs for your individual or your family plan, and you could have thrown away that entire bump in the healthcare. Or you aren't asking what this company offers from a benefit standpoint, where, what stage of life you're in. If you're in the stage of child rearing, well, guess what? You might want to see if fertility benefits are part of the program. If not, that's several hundred thousand dollars. That's out of your pocket. You want to know before you say yes to a company what the whole package looks like, because sitting down, and it's part of my online program, I've created a digital program, and part of that is really evaluating what you value. I value flexibility and time off. I value being able to work from anywhere in the world. I value that deeply. So when I'm going into a negotiation, guess what's going to be on my list? PTO and where I can work and flexibility to work from anywhere. That doesn't mean 100%, but if I am traveling to Germany or Canada to see my family, that I am going to go for a week plus two weekends, and I'm going to add on another week and I'm going to work from there because I can. And then I can add the third weekend. So you have to evaluate what's very important to you. And then once you have that list, you can then look at the list of benefits, which I also provide to all of my clients. And we do a side-by-side comparison. So it's a spreadsheet that lists their current benefits. So whether you had a pension, whether you had a 401k, what that adds up to, whether you had stipends, whether you had your cell phone, whatever the list is, and then match that up with the offer. And then you can have a good conversation that says, well, you know, in my current company, these are some of the things that I currently have that I'd love to also put on the table. But those are two really key things that many people just are not thinking about.
Thank you for joining today. We appreciate your listening ears, big time. We ask this, use these tools, not tomorrow, right now, and share them by spreading the love, leaving us a rating and subscribe so you don't miss the next Career Blast in a Half. Most of all, thank you for you.